Good day, everyone everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross Border, and this is our Prophecy Reality Edition. Well, I guess first, I have an article here from The Sovereign Man, America's Long-Term Challenge, number 3, Destruction of the Currency. Yeah, well, you know where that's going, right? Let's see, on April 2nd, 1792, George Washington signed into law what's commonly referred to as the Mint and Coinage Act. It was one of the first major pieces of legislation in the young country's history, and it was an important one because it formally created the United States dollar. Under the Act, the U.S. dollar was defined as a particular amount of copper, silver, or gold. It wasn't just a piece of paper. A $10 Eagle coin, for example, was 16.4 grams of pure gold, whereas a 1 cent coin was 17.1 grams of copper. The ratios between gold, silver, and copper were all fixed back then. But if we apply today's gold price of $1,292 per troy ounce, we can see that the current value of the original dollar, as defined by the Mint and Coinage Act of 1792, is roughly $66.75. In other words, the dollar has lost 98.5% of its value since 1792. What's incredible about this constant, steady destruction of the currency is how subtle it is. Few people seem to notice because modern-day central bankers try to manage inflation between 2 to 3% per year. After a decade or so, it really starts to add up. But there's an important other side of the equation, income. Costs are clearly rising. And it's fair to say that incomes have been rising too, but which one has risen more? Yeah, guess. Back in 1982, when I was a toddler, says the author, I was no toddler in 1982, he says, the price of a Ford Mustang was $6,572. Yes, the good old days, right? Today, the cheapest Mustang starts at $25,680. So a Mustang today is around 4 times as expensive as it was 36 years ago. That's a lot of inflation, isn't it? Yeah, 400% inflation in 36 years. That's what 3% a year does to you, right? Okay, U.S. Labor Department data from 1982 shows that the average earnings were $309 per week. Oh, the good old days, right? Or $16,000 per year. That was enough to buy 2.45 Mustangs. Today's earnings are $881 per week, or $45,000 per year. That's only enough to buy 1.78 Mustangs. So when denominated in Ford Mustangs, people's incomes have fallen 27.3% since 1982. More recently than that, say back in 2005, an entry-level Mustang cost $19,215 at a time when average wages were $40,000 plus per year, or 2.12 Mustangs per year. So even since 2005, average incomes have fallen, levels have fallen 16%. Obviously, this trend doesn't apply to apply to Ford Mustangs. If we look at housing in the United States, we can see that the median price of in 2003 was $186,000 for a home, according to Federal Reserve data. At the time when the Labor Department reported average weekly wages of $620, so that was roughly 0.173 houses per person per year. Now I'm getting lost in these in these numbers, it's hard to think in tenths of a house per year. So basically, you could pay for 1.17% of your house in 1 year with your wage. You could buy 17% of a house. There we go. Today's medium home price is $328,000 with an average wage of $881, or only 13% of a house per year. Yeah. That's a decline in income of 19% over the last 15 years. Again, it's a slow, subtle destruction, but over time, inflation really adds up. Over the long term, the average person becomes poorer. And remember what we're talking about here. We're talking about America's long-term challenge number three, destruction of the currency. Yeah, a lot of people might think, well, what is the purpose of destroying the currency? Well, we'll get to that. He says, we can view this trend anecdotally as well. Back in the 1950s and 60s, it was common for a man to go out into the workforce and support his entire family on a single salary. The average American family could afford a home, a car, modern technology at the time, savings, and even a summer vacation. Today, it's normal for both spouses in a family to have full-time jobs just to make ends meet. Data from Pew Research shows that 70% of American households of married couples with children back in 1960 were single income, i.e. only the father worked. There we go. Today, 60% of households have both spouses working. And given the other statistics, we routinely see about the average U.S. household has very little savings and is loaded down with debt. They're barely making it even with two incomes. That's because inflation has slowly robbed people's livelihoods. What's truly bizarre is that this exact same inflation is actually official policy. And where does this official policy come from? Now, you know, I read all of these articles from other people pointing to the problems, and they got all the data and the statistics and everything correct, but they never point where the finger needs to be pointed. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to point the finger right where the Bible says to point the finger, at the Antichrist. That's right. The Antichrist is alive and well in the world. And what did God say of Satan? By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. You know, that, what kind of sense does that make? Well, when you apply it to what's going on today, it makes perfect sense. By the multitude of thy merchandise, by Satan's created fiat usury currency monetary system that has taken over the whole world, of which the Antichrist is in charge, the world has been filled with violence. And people don't understand that this inflation is 2 or 3% a year. That's a lot of money when it adds up. And this is all by design. These bankers knew, you know, they were, of course, tempted by Satan with the power and control and that money can buy, that they would acquire by implementing the satanic monetary system over the whole world. So Satan uses people just through temptation and give them the things that please their flesh and give them the power and all of the things that they covet or lust after. So they do Satan's bidding, knowingly or unknowingly, wittingly or unwittingly. And here we are today in the situation where we're in, living with something that is now normal, this inflation, this destruction of the currency. Now, what does Satan want to do with this money? I mean, basically, what are they doing with the money that they're robbing from the people? Because inflation robs everyone on earth. Now, if you just think about that, if you could garner to yourself just 1% of all of the money that is transacted on earth, that's a lot of money. And you could rule the world, couldn't you? You could buy everyone over to your political stance. Yeah, and that's exactly what Satan and his minions have done, or the Antichrist and his minions. Now, if we go to Revelation chapter 13, it's clear, as clear as anything can be, that the Antichrist will rule the world at the end, but will rule the world clandestinely in plain sight by the language of the Revelation itself. And he does, because nobody believes that he is the Antichrist. And of course, the Antichrist doesn't want anyone to believe he's the Antichrist, and I don't know whether he knows he is or not, or believes he is or not, but he knows that he was identified as the Antichrist 500 years ago by the pre-Reformation and Reformation fathers. That's right. He knows they identified him as the Antichrist. But because he has all the money and the power through that money, he has been able to overthrow that knowledge with fictions, with anything. It doesn't matter what. You know, to overthrow the plain, what should be the plain understanding of the Bible by the power of that money. Okay, so continuing here with our friend's article. Both central bankers and politicians deliberately try to engineer inflation, and they formally disclose this to the public. The Fed announces its inflation targets, and economists panic if inflation is too low, or even worse, if there is deflation and prices fall. Now, remember at the beginning of the article, he clearly stated that one of the beginning principles of this nation was a stable currency based upon substance. God's money. Very, what I would call a lamb-like principle, because it's in compliance with God's law. That makes it lamb-like. Nothing aggressive about it. Nothing covetousness, no covetousness in it. It's just honest. Substance. That's what money truly is. Okay, so the Fed announces their inflation targets. You see, George Washington, when they passed the Coinage Act of whatever, 17 whatever, when he was president, they didn't have any inflation targets. They were trying to create a stable currency, honest money. They realized that one of the huge problems in the world was the bankers. That's why they fought for many years. The presidents, some of the early presidents fought so hard against having a central bank. They wanted all banks to be free and run by people as separate, free, individually owned enterprise by the American people. See, we've been robbed of all that. That was the American birthright that we've been robbed of. I cannot go out and start a bank now. I cannot go out and compete because there's no more competition allowed. Certainly you have all these banks that appear to have different names, and they offer, you know, free whatever, free checking or whatever for you to join their bank. Or people even use checks anymore? I don't. Used to be free checking or whatever they do to entice you to bank with them so they can take a further amount of your money on top of the inflation that's already been taken by the big daddy bankers, you know, the banking cabal, the Federal Reserve or the World Monetary Fund. They're all the same people. They're all under the same head. And that is, as the scripture tells us, the Antichrist runs the banking system of the world. He's at the very top. And if you were the Antichrist, you wouldn't want people to know that you were there at the top. I mean, you know, it's like someone wins the lottery. The last thing they want to do is advertise and let everyone know where they're at, because, you know, if you win $100 million lottery, guess what? You have more friends now than you ever had in your whole life. And so the people that run the bank and practically own the money of the world They don't want you to know who they are. They kind of hide behind facades. And that's exactly what's going on. So that's why this man can write this article without ever once mentioning going to the very top of the banking pyramid to reach the Antichrist, who gets his power from Satan. You can read the Bible to get that part. Okay. See, both central bankers, they deliberately engineer inflation. They formally disclose it to the public. They announce inflation targets. The government actually has a vested interest in inflation. They like rising prices because the national debt is so obscenely large. And this is how the Antichrist bankers control governments, because they loan them the money that they create out of thin air. Where do they get this money? Out of inflation. Because money is worthless. If I could go out and print my own money, but it's worthless. Because I can't rob anybody to print my money to give it credit. So you have to be in control of the money that's already in circulation, which they are. That's why they fought so hard to get into the position that they're in. That's why it took them over 100 years to get the Federal Reserve Act. That wasn't their first attempt at taking over the U.S. Treasury. The Federal Reserve coup was a coup that they worked on ever since this country began. They just never gave up. See, and that's what evil does. Evil never gives up. Evil has nothing else to do than to propagate its evil. So it never says, oh, well, I'm quitting this and I'm going to go, you know, mind my own business and enjoy my life. No, evil just keeps coming back and it never quits. That's why evil in this world always seems to win. Yes, and for those people who say that Satan is bound, we've talked about that, the binding of Satan. Is it past or future? Well, it's yet future. Okay, the idea is that if the government borrows $10 billion today on a 30-year term, they want the value of that $10 billion to be as little as possible 3 decades from now. So slow, steady destruction of the currency is actually to their own benefit. The government wants to be able to inflate the debt away. But as consumers, we prefer falling or at least stable prices. Price stability ensures that people's purchasing power remains the same. Rising prices are destructive, rewarding those who go into debt, like the government, at the expense of anyone who has been responsibly saving. Think about it. If you put $100 in a savings account 10 years ago, you wouldn't be able to buy as much with it today as you could have back then. Saving money actually costs you purchasing power. The month-to-month and year-to-year variations on inflation will be all over the board, but the long-term trend is pretty clear. Prices continue to rise. And it's fair to say that no nation or empire in history has ever been able to prosper by slowly destroying the value of its currency and its middle class. And okay, that's from Simon Black, Sovereign Man. You can look him up if you want to. And he always has good articles. I'm on his mailing list. I think he has a lot of good things to say. I don't agree with him about, you know, storing your silver or your gold in another country or whatever, worried about confiscation, because as Melody Cederstrom says, if the so-called proverbial stuff hits the fan, your gold is going to be stuck where you can't get your hands on it. And when you need it the most, you are not going to be able to get it. And it may be even difficult to get in good times, as she was saying this morning or yesterday on her broadcast, which was replayed this morning. So what can I say? First of all, don't save your money in dollars. Save it in gold and silver. It's something that's stable. It may fall a little bit. It may rise a little bit, but the upside is really where it's going to go in the future. The same bankers that have a vested interest in the dollars and the fiat usury satanic monetary system, well, they don't like gold and they do everything in their power to keep it from rising. Yeah. Because, well, they own a lot of gold too. So they even control that. But they can't make it disappear, and they can't inflate gold. That's why they downplay it so much, and they've turned so many people against it. But look at their track record on gold. People who have invested in gold and kept their savings in gold have only had an upside. Unless, of course, you bought in 2012, you're still looking at a downside. That's why you don't put all your money at once. And just you save as you go along what you can afford. And the bottom dollar is that it's usually up. And it'll still go up. I'm sure that the new bottom on gold will be what it was, will be the last high on gold. And that'll be 1800. That'll be the new bottom on it when it rises to that level again. Which something will occur where it does rise to that level. But anyway, you know who to call, Melody Cederstrom, if you're interested in taking care of that, of your savings. But what I'm mainly focused on here is a prophecy and what that means for us. And we're going to talk more about that in our next segment. Okay, well, here comes that break. We'll see you all on the other side. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Well, oh yeah, we were talking about the financial situation and the destruction of the currency. And now we got to ask the question, where is it leading? Where is it all leading? And why is this happening? Well, I know that it's a satanic conspiracy. It's a intergenerational satanic conspiracy that's been going on for hundreds of years. The bankers with Satan's monetary system had been trying for over 100 years before they got their Federal Reserve coup of the United States Treasury. And from that position, they have been able to rob the American people, one of the most prosperous nations on earth, of all their wealth, and use that wealth. Satan has robbed the American people of their wealth and used that wealth to take over the monetary system of the entire world. And he's done a good job. And where does it lead? Well, it leads to the mark of the beast monetary system is where it leads. And it leads to communism. I was listening to another broadcast earlier today. The Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian Pinto, talking about the 27-something tenets of communism or something like that. And the same thing, although Christian Pinto does understand who the Antichrist is, though he didn't say it in that broadcast. But the Antichrist Mark of the Beast system is necessarily communist socialist. And that's why socialism and communism is taking over the entire world. Because the Antichrist controls the monetary system, and whoever really controls the money, by that power, they can gain control of everything because they can buy everyone. And they can promote what they want to be promoted. And it all seems very discouraging in the world. But it's a good thing we do have God's Word, because we know that all of Satan's plans are going to be overthrown. And it was never God's plan for his people, or for even for him to become popular in this fallen world. Yes, I have to deal with my growing unpopularity every day. Yes, I'm not becoming more popular. And if I keep doing the things that I'm doing, I'll probably become even more unpopular. Because right now I'm going to say, all my socialist friends out there, boy, oh boy, you know Jesus hated socialism. The Bible explicitly excoriates the whole idea of socialism. As a matter of fact, the whole Antichrist system, it needs to be socialist. See, because here's how it works. The Antichrist inflates the monetary system, and he robs everybody on earth. But what does he do with that money that he robs? Well, he does whatever he wants. He buys people. How does he buy people? Well, I don't know. How many people do you know that are collecting benefits from the beast? Gee, just probably half the people on the planet. And so probably a good amount and number of them, their sole provider is the beast. Where does the beast get this money? Well, that inflation adds up. It's a lot of money. And if that don't work, they just borrow more. Yeah. They'd put the governments into debt, because they're all his governments. What did Satan tell Jesus when he took him up to that pinnacle and he was tempting? He says, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, not because the earth was flat, but because He owned them. They were his. He controlled them. Because power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and Satan is absolutely corrupt. And all of those people that have gone into power have become corrupted by it. Very, very few. I mean, how many can you say haven't been corrupted by the power of government that are in it? I don't know. Can you name one? There's probably one or two out there, but what they find out is that they are ineffective in an evil system because they can't win in it because it's not the kingdom of God. Yeah. The kingdom of God is here. I sit in God's kingdom because I live by the law of the king. Yeah, it's written in the word of God. And see, I'm not saved because I keep his law. I have a true desire to live by his law because he saved me. Yeah. And that's what God is looking for. And that's really what the gospel of the kingdom is all about. Let me use Jesus' words here. Jesus went about preaching and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." That's called the gospel of the kingdom. That's the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached. Open up your gospels. Open up Matthew. You'll find Jesus went about preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." That's right. So change your mind. That's what repent means. Metanoeo in the Greek. Change your mind. And change your mind to voluntarily walk in God's kingdom and live your life in a way that is pleasing to him. That's how you have to change your mind. Agree with his word. When he says socialism is theft and covetousness, you agree with that and you depart from it. Yeah, I've done that. It's difficult. It's not easy. And it certainly is not popular. And nobody's going to do it because I used to run True News on First Amendment Radio. And if it became radio friendly again, I'd run it again. Yeah. I might write him a letter, say, "Hey, look, we need at least 1 hour that is radio compatible. You can put the Praiser Band and the charismatic woman in the other hour. We just want the True News, man, that, you know, the show you used to have." And that's what I think about that. But socialism, you'll never hear about this on True News. They touch on it, kind of like this guy in this article here. But he's never going to point his finger at the Antichrist. He's never going to tell you that your participation in socialism is covetousness, that you forgot about God's benefits. Because that's how you know, when the scripture says forget, when God says forget not all of my benefits, well, if you take benefits from the beast, that's the very definition of forgetting about God's benefits. And say, I'm losing people right now. Yeah. God called me to be unpopular. I don't like it. Okay? I would rather be popular. My flesh craves that, just like everyone else. But I've agreed to be unpopular. Okay, Lord. You know, this is how it works. Obedience is mine. The results are his. Because I look at the results, I can't see them. He thinks it's worthwhile that I remain unpopular and the results look sparse. Because it's not about, you know, what I'm doing for God in his kingdom as if I could do anything that I think God needs me to get big and conquer the world with, win those souls to Christ. I've learned the truth is that the elect are already his, whether they know they're his or not. And I just don't know who they are, and they may not know who they are, but I know who I am. So I'm here for the elect. the elect that don't know who they are yet. You know, maybe I can feed, maybe I can water. You know, I mean, I don't need popularity. Most people live their lives with no popularity whatsoever. Yeah, it's fine with me. Well, popularity is not something that's really to be coveted or sought after. Yeah. That would be a wrong focus. And if you judge, like a lot of people think that because so-called ministers out there are very popular, that they must really be great men of God. I question that. I can't think that way. Yeah, because the Bible says something else. It talks about being great in the kingdom of God as opposed to being great in the world. They're not the same thing. If you're great in the world, it's unlikely you're going to be great in God's kingdom. I mean, it could happen. Probably a few people that have been great in the world and great in God's kingdom. And very many of those. And the temptations that come with riches and fame and popularity are, you know, perhaps too much for me. Maybe that's why God keeps me humble. Fine. I don't care. I'm not after anything in this life. What I'm after is that eternal prize. That's where my eyes are fixed. On Him and the eternal prize. That's it. So anyway, I hope people come to First Amendment Radio and they're fed and they're edified and they're blessed. And I'm thankful to God for the few people that invest their kingdom dollars in First Amendment Radio so that me and my family can pay our bills and I can continue to do the work that God has called me to do. Yeah. Doesn't matter to me. Like I said, obedience is mine, results are His. And I could never know what the results are anyway. They may appear, there may be people out there that are very, very popular. They may be appeared doing great things for God, but they may be the biggest deceivers on the earth. I'll name a few. How about Chuck Missler? Yeah. And his futurism. What a deception in the Nephilim nonsense. All of this anti-biblical doctrine. All this made-up stuff. Oh, and there are so many popular people out there. Some people call them the giants of God's kingdom. I would be afraid if I were them to depart from God's word or to add to it. I'd rather be nobody on earth. You know, working out a living, doing labor and giving 10% in tithes and offerings to some small ministry that nobody pays attention to that is doing good and preaching God's word, the truth of it, then I would be afraid to be some of those people, like John Hagee and his blood moon mania. He jumps on everything. A very, very rich man, very, very popular man. Lots of money. Lots of popularity. I mean, he puts out a video. Boy, it's, you know, it's 100,000 hits on YouTube, views on YouTube in a week or whatever. No problem. There's your popularity. All I'd have to do is what he's doing. I mean, I could probably go, historicist becomes futurist. I realize the error of my way. And I'd be off. Boy, everybody, all of the futurists would be flocking to me. Because I finally saw the light of futurism. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just like the church loves the story of the, you know, the Satanist or the whatever, the evil, evil person, or especially the stars, or so-called stars that become Christians. And they just flock to them and, you know, and throw all more money and more popularity at him. Only now it's coming from the Christian, the outer court of the Christian world. We've talked about this plenty. about the revelation scene, the temple scene in Revelation, and how the outer court is the bulk of visible Christianity on earth. It's only the few, the remnant, the elect, that enter in to the inner court. All the popularity takes place outside. All of the popularity in the world. That's where the Pope is great, in the outer court of the Gentiles in the Revelation scene. John Hagee and Chuck Missler and Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins. Well, Tim LaHaye is dead now. I mean, I wonder if he's got his comeuppance. I mean, I would be afraid to be Tim LaHaye. Yeah. Because he is probably such a self-deceived man to think that he's doing God's work when all he was doing was Satan's work, because the money came and he believed the lie that if he was popular, that he must be being blessed by God. But doesn't Satan bless those for the most part that are doing his will? Is that why if you write an awful book on, you know, like, what do they call them? Oh, I can't think of that series. A very popular satanic series, children's series that came out here lately. Very popular. All the money, all the attention goes there. That's where the money flows. Because Satan blesses those that are good for his agenda with the money and the funding and the popularity and the attention of the world. Okay, you're listening to Prophecy Reality. We'll be back in a little bit.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.